Blog Talk Radio.
Well, here we go, ladies and gentlemen, across the airwaves. It's an early morning rise on the West Coast. On the East, they're starting to put the breakfast behind them. It's a Doc Talk podcast hosted by a brother, a mentor, and a friend to me, Dr. Greg Roscoe, out there in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Yours truly producing, playing a little co-host till his guest, Matt Varicello, comes in. Mark Mancini in Los Angeles, 347-205-9631. If you happen to miss it, 45 will go by quick. Catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports, podcast platforms, wherever you subscribe to podcasts, powered now by Mancini Media. So as I lay the red carpet down, put the podium in its place, hand off the mic, just want to let everybody know before I give it over to you, Doc, for the threes. How are you? How can people get a hold of you? You're a great guest today. Next show will be Thursday. That'll be January 18th, and that'll be 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2:30 on the West Coast, as we try different things with times for this show. Doc.
Mark, good morning. I know it's early on the West Coast. My God. You sound chipper. You sound like you're in a good mood here. You know, breakfast is brewing right now, Mark, and we haven't had breakfast yet, but we're getting there. You know, people can get a hold of me, as they know, gjrmd308@outlook.com. Things are going well. You know, to our listeners, I want to thank you. We had a very, very good 2023. This is our first show of 2024. We're hoping to have a good year and give a lot of good information out and make the show something that is worthwhile for our listeners, Mark. You know, as always, we want to give good medical advice and put people in the put them in the right direction. You know, today we have Dr. Matt Varicella coming back on. We're going to start, and, you know, the topic today is an interesting one, and I've received an awful lot of emails kind of around Aaron Rodgers, not particularly about him, but about him and what he's done. And, you know, the topic, the big topic, Mark, is regenerative medicine. You know, years ago, people would have great surgery, that have a great surgeon, and then they'd have to go to physical therapy. And it was taking months to rehab. If we're in specifics, these Achilles injuries, it was months. You know, today we have Aaron Rodgers, a perfect example, 40-year-old male football player that, you know, overall has had great surgery. He did have a special procedure done, just to let our listeners know, called a speed bridge. On this Achilles tendon of his. So he had a great surgeon. He also had great people around him with his physiatrist, physical therapist, and getting him up to speed. But one thing now that he has introduced, you know, into his regime of healthcare here is regenerative medicine. And another word for that, for our listeners, Mark, are stem cells. He's done some stem cell therapy. And, Mark, we can talk about that. You know, in general, you know, the topic being regenerative medicine, you know, regenerative medicine, if we're letting our listeners know, has been around since the 90s. It's only about 30 years. And, you know, it came about where they started to discover the multiplicity of something called stem cells in our body. And again, kind of it started a little bit where the first someone got an inkling was the fact of how we use skin grafting, you know, in our burn patients. We can take skin from one part of the body, put it in another part of the body. And, you know, what it does, it replaces tissues that are damaged from age, from injury, or a variety of other things, and starts to heal. So it is a great upcoming field, and, you know, it's being used in a lot of areas, which we can talk a little bit about later. But, Mark, that's kind of what's going on today, you know, is the regenerative medicine. And I'd like to make the topic, you know, part one today and part two on Thursday night. You know, we have our, let our listeners know that we're going to Thursday nights, 5:30 Eastern Standard Time. So, Mark, let's see how that works out and how that helps the listenership as well, okay?
Yeah, and, you know, you bring up some interesting points on that because they have an athlete out here, Shohei Ohtani, who partially tore a ligament. So what is the difference when you break it down for the listeners, a partially torn ligament compared to a teared ligament? And do they heal the same? Does one heal faster than the other? Because it seems like if you tear a ligament, you're out quite a while. But then some, you know, if it's not completely torn, you can the recovery is sped up quite rapidly.
Well, you know, I think they're very, very good points, very good questions. And again, we're talking about different sports. You know, if we're talking about a ligament, and I think you, I think he tore something in his elbow. Is that correct?
Yes.
Was it a Tommy Johns on him? Yeah. And,
I think
you know,
it was.
That
yes.
ligament, yes, as opposed to, if I can just elaborate, Aaron Rodgers was more that ankle ligament overall, which is the Achilles. Each of them do, of course, different things. The Achilles tendon, which is a much, much thicker tendon than the elbow. But with regard to injury, and I think that that's where, you know, we're seeing a lot going on. The level of injury, once you go ahead and sustain it, the stem cells can help replace the damaged tissue, Mark, so that overall what we're going to see, whether it's a tear, a partial tear, a complete tear, the rehabilitation may be much, much shorter than once it was, because of these stem cells growing. And so I, you know, what you're going to see is, I think it's going to change the face of athletics, whether it's basketball, football, or baseball, getting these players back into tip-top shape again, because they are, most of them are superstar athletes and they need to go back to work. And, you know, with regard to the stem cell product, you know,
right.
if I can, Mark, elaborate just a little bit here, you know, sometimes these stem cells are, you know, these products are put together in the laboratories. And then overall, this stem cell mixture is then actually injected into the damaged tissue. That's kind of what happens. And then, you know, we go ahead and wait for these stems, these specialized cells, to start to grow the tissue back to its normal function. And, you know, along that line of regenerative medicine, Mark, I don't want to get away from the topic of ligaments, but, you know, it can help of our heart muscle, different organs in our body, as well as blood and nerve tissue. So, Mark, this is an upcoming field that is going to change the face of medicine, our aging, but also damage. Does that help answer that a little bit, Mark?
Well, I think it does. And let me pull in Joey from Bucks County, PA, as we're getting some of the Eastern emails coming through. He basically is up with a breakfast burrito this morning. He said an early rise
Wonderful.
For him.
Yes.
But is there a difference of recovery from a torn ACL and if you tear a ligament? Wow, that's an interesting question. I never figured out.
Yeah, you know, yes. You know, I'm not a specialist on that, and we'll get Dr. Varicella on that. But overall, there is, you know, differences in how these ligaments are repaired. And, you know, with regard to repair, let me talk about that. There are surgical procedures that are being done to repair ligaments, and they've done well, but they've had to have the whole complement team of rehabilitation. Well, what's being introduced now along that same formula still may need surgery. They still need rehab. they still then can get the injections to help this tissue heal. So long story short, the whole process is going to be shortened, and the product may be as normal as possibly that we can get to today, Mark. So, yeah, they still may need surgery, but indeed the stem cells may help make these ligaments almost back to normal.
So I guess the question would be, Doc, as you're breaking down these ligaments and everything, is it a strain on the elbow? Is it you know, too much using the elbow in a motion,
sure,
where you're trying to get more speed out of it as far as the pitcher? Is it too much running up and down the court where you tear your ACL? Is it just not exercising properly? Is it just not working? Or is it just longevity? I mean, there's a lot of things that can probably go into this.
Yes. You know, as far as – now, we used a couple different words here. If we talk about a sprain, correct? I think we had used the word sprain,
yes,
where the ligaments, the fibers, may have ruptured or separated, but not tore. You know, like a Tommy John's is when you actually have the ligaments tear. A sprain is where these are stretched. They've lost some of their elasticity. They've lost some of their strength. So it's a matter, if it is, you know, a sprain, the sprain doesn't require typically surgery and probably not stem cells. They probably need, you know, more physical therapy. They need their physiatrist. They need overall, you know, more muscular training. But a tear is a whole different story, okay?
I see where you're going when you look at the tear and everything.
Yeah.
And then the recovery, is it what, anywhere from 6 months to a year? When you look at Rodgers, he could have came back, you know, last month, you know, to play a few games. So he wouldn't have been out the whole year. So when you kind of look at what his thing was, that a partial tear? Was that a three-quarter tear? What was that? Because
it was a
seems
partial,
like,
tear.
The recovery.
He had a partial.
Yeah.
Mark, you're absolutely right. And the tear itself was a pretty clean tear, that the procedure that was done was able to be a very, I can use the word minor, a very minor procedure surgically, but he had an excellent surgeon that was able to do the repair and get the tissues back together again with a lot of stability. His tear was a pretty clean one. And, you know, he was in good condition, well-conditioned athlete, good diet, as well as, you know, had good people around him. But he did have a tear, and they were able to use some bracing materials on the tendon to go ahead and close it together. But he did tear it, and the surgeon was pretty nifty about how he repaired it. And then they added, Mark, the icing on the cake, which was the stem cell therapy. So he's going to be, honestly, as good as new.
Right. Are you shocked in some ways that, you know, as long as he's played football, you know, 18, 19 years, that he hasn't had an injury before in his preparation-wise? Because you can't really prepare for a tear when these guys are coming at you at, you know, a rapid speed. So, you know, we saw Joe Theismann years back, you know, his leg got shattered by Lawrence Taylor. That was an unbelievable one. And
career
we also
ending.
Saw
yeah,
Alex.
Career ending.
And then we saw Alex Smith when he was with the Washington Redskins. He more or less was almost a career threatening one too. Were you surprised that with Aaron Rodgers' injury, it looked ugly, but it's still, I mean, quarterbacks, they got a certain amount of protection with their offensive line, but still, all those years, how much does wear play into this?
Well, you're damn right. Wear plays a lot into it, but I think you have to look at both sides of the coin, Mark. you know, these guys aren't weekend warriors.
Right.
Right? You know,
right.
Now, again, the Theismann injury, God, you know, forbid that happened to anybody else. But with regard to tendons, typically tendons have to do with the stretching or the leg gets bent in a way that it tears the tendons and doesn't move. All right? Where the bone break, I mean, he was jumped on and God knows what the hell happened to him and how
right.
the pressure that was put on him. But, yeah, usually now with tendons and muscles, usually, Mark, we're able to go ahead. You know, that's why you warm up. You know, they have the warm-up exercises. These guys are, you know, conditioning pretty well throughout the weeks. Mark, nutrition. You know, the other thing with these athletes, and I think with Aaron Rodgers as well, I was reading about his nutrition and what he eats every day. So I think he's a pretty complete package of an athlete that is able to come back. But I think, you know, as always, these guys make millions. But, Mark, they dedicate their life and everything they do to keeping their body functioning. Don't you agree with
right.
that as well?
Oh, I
you
do.
Know,
I definitely agree.
Yeah, it's a lifestyle that overall, you know, for the most part, years ago, you know, you'd see the Steelers, and I can remember this as a kid, down at the local bars in Pittsburgh drinking beer.
Right.
Very seldomly, I think, do you see that with these top-flight athletes today. They may be in the juice bar, but they're not out getting, you know, drunked up, hurting
well,
their body.
Not, right. Yeah. Well, not only that, Doc, when you look at it, too, you know, if the team is investing a lot in you and they've got, you know, a lot of cachet behind, you know, their investment.
Oh, yeah.
They don't want to see something happen, so they're going to have top-notch doctors working with these players and everything. And the flip side of it, too, is if the player's making millions, you know, you're absolutely
oh.
right. He doesn't want to be in a bar and wasting away because then his longevity or his career it
sure.
becomes, you know, shortened at a rapid
modified.
Pace as
That's
well.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, so, you know, Mark, we've had athletes on before. And
right.
you know, they've talked about, you know, the training table. You know, they supply food for these athletes. And, you know, the quality of food today is far better than what it once was. So that
right.
overall at the training table, you know, they're not getting high caloric, high fatty foods. You know, you see the veggies, you see the protein. You don't see all the sugary drinks. You know, you see a lot of nutritional things to help keep these athletes in good shape. And, you know, we've had athletes on the show that have talked about that, Mark, how they've had to go ahead, modify their diet, modify their training. You know, they have the physician coaches there as well. And, again, these are multi-million dollar businesses that are going on. So you want to keep these athletes strong, correct? So
right.
back to Aaron Rodgers, I mean, I think he's had – you know, the million-dollar treatment here with regard to the surgeon, the surgical procedure, the stem cells, but more importantly, it's the team around him getting him up stretched, strengthened, and his nutrition. I wish we all had that opportunity. You know what I mean?
Right, right. Let me get Robin in from Warren, Ohio. She's a regular that listens to
yes,
your show and up. Yeah, it's unbelievable. More or less, says where does arthritis play in as we get older? How much does arthritis play in with some of these guys? Aaron Rodgers approaching, you know, 40. Some of these guys with Brady and stuff. How much does arthritis play into this too? It kicked in with everything else. That's an interesting question.
Very interesting question. You know, Mark, we have to say that these athletes, if we talk about athletes in general, you know, they really have opportunities for this arthritis. You know, again, arthritis being swelling, tenderness of the joints. You know, these guys get stiff. Typically, as we get older, the problems are worse. There's different types. But, you know, overall, the damage and the trauma that they've gone through their lives, they're perfect candidates to go ahead and to get arthritis. And, you know, as far as what do you do about it, the biggest thing is, you know, overall, try to avoid getting it. And, you know, you go ahead, it's basically the fact of taking care of yourself, exercising, you know, again, now if we talk about athletes, and again, if there's a family predisposition to this, making sure they see the right doctors as rheumatologists, but you want to avoid the inflammation in the joints. And, you know, overall, it definitely is a problem. Let me get Dr. Varichello on here, okay?
Okay. He's not in quite yet, but let me break down one point as we wait for him to come in. What I'm starting to see in sports is, and we talked about the longevity, we've talked about a lot of things, but what separates, you know, what Robin had brought up about, you know, arthritis and Rodgers and some of these guys that have played.
Yeah.
What separates some of these guys? We've seen the Kareem Abdul-Jabbar's play, you know, a lot of years. We've seen the Michael Jordans. We've seen the Kobe Bryants. We've seen these guys. We know they have set the bar. But how different do they keep their body than some of the other guys that aren't quite on that par, if they're eating the same, if they're training the same? Is it just a different hygiene? Is it just different doctors?
You know,
I mean,
we're going to have –
yeah.
Sure. You know, Mark, you have to realize another thing, too, which I know you know. Their access to health care is different than the average people.
Right.
All right? Their access to knowledge, specialists, Mark, is far different than the average person. So they, you know, they have the opportunity to deal with, you know, specialists, maybe the best specialists in the world, to help them. Now, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, now that was many, many years ago, though, Mark.
Right.
Yeah. Right?
And here comes Matt.
Varichello can, can chime in, too.
Yep, I'm here on the show.
Wonderful.
Hey, Matt, how are
what
you?
What we're talking about, go ahead, yes. You know, it was a little hard for Matt to get up this morning, listeners. You know, it's 8 o'clock here on the East Coast. Sometimes these surgeons have a busy week. But, no, thank you, Matt, for being on. And, hey, Matt, we're talking about Aaron Rodgers, you know, his rehab. Bringing up the big topic today was regenerative medicine. You know, he did have stem cell therapy in regenerative medicine as part of his rehab now. So we have, you know, Mark Mancini talking about it. And then, again, you know, we got on the topic a little bit of arthritis with these athletes as well. And what do you see? Are you seeing your athletes developing arthritis even earlier maybe than the normal mode of arthritic patients?
Yeah. Well, here's what's kind of interesting is that, you know, I recently treated a couple Achilles tendon injuries, a couple players, basketball players overseas. And, you know, what we found was when that injury actually happened, and we got an MRI to look at the torn tendon in the back of the heel there. We found actually a little bit of, you know, arthritis going on in the joint. We found some plantar fasciitis, which I know we've talked about in shows before. So the take-home message with some of that is that these injuries are a lot of times like a ticking time bomb, just waiting to happen. And there are some risk factors that are going on, you know, throughout the joint or throughout that other region, maybe other muscles, maybe other tendons are involved. And what that does is that compromises the next tendon over or the larger tendon. So, you know, one individual, you know, obviously I can't share information, but, you know, you look at that tendon whenever it's injured and the spot that actually that ruptures, you'll look at the rest of the tendon, you'll see that there's some injured areas that have had problems for a while. So something that's becoming even more and more popular now whenever you treat those injuries, especially surgically, is you'll add in what's called PRP, that's a platelet-rich plasma. And basically what that is the surgeon or the surgical team will take the patient's own blood or the bone marrow, and then you can spin it down in as Yeah, absolutely. And you spin it down in a specialized centrifuge. So what that does is that creates a concentration of that mixture. So then there's a lot of, you know, stem cells and growth factors that can be delivered to that injured area. So we'll see that. We'll see, you know, really with these treatment techniques, and if you follow the NFL, you'll see that everybody's recovering faster. We're always pushing the rehab timeline faster and faster, and people are getting better. But the surgical part is really a small percentage of that. Yes, we do that advanced cutting-edge technique, but the rehab starts right away. I know with my Achilles tendon injuries, we've moved we've kind of shifted the goalpost, so to speak, and these athletes are, you know, getting out of the boot quicker. We're trying to get them to walk normal quicker. So all of that stuff is happening, but there are different factors involved, because you could still get the old school technique with the Achilles tendon repairs, and the outcome can still be fine, but you run the risk of a larger percentage of people don't get good tension on that tendon again, and then they aren't able to explode or do the, you know, jumping and where they need to really lever off that heel and push.
Sure.
There are a lot of different things involved there. Yeah.
Yes, and Matt, you know, you're referring to your platelet-rich plasma. That's part of the regenerative medicine concept, is it not?
Correct. Yes, it is.
And where we're using, you know, as I mentioned, Matt, I know you've been on the show before, you know, talking about your team, about prehab, about surgery, and then your rehab, and now you're adding, you know, this regenerative medicine. So you're expecting to see your athletes back in form a little quicker than what they did. And, Matt, is it possible, you know, is this basically empirical data, or is it evidence-based data that we're seeing people come back quicker? What are we looking
at?
That's
a great question, because when everything shifts to the athletes getting back quicker, there's a lot that goes involved with that. I always was sending around, you know, a bunch of my surgical colleagues on a text message thread, and everyone was talking about, oh, Aaron Rodgers is walking in a shoe with an ankle brace. So when people roll their ankle, you got this little ankle sleeve with the laces on it. He was doing that at 13 days. There is so much that goes in. Yeah, absolutely. And that, just to put it in perspective, that is something that normally we would see around 2 months, maybe, if that, maybe even a little bit later. So we're shortening that normal walking time from 2 months to 2 weeks. But a lot goes into that, because it's really the, like you mentioned, the prehab, getting the swelling down even before the surgery, because you're going to get swelling with the surgery. Now, with a big injury like an Achilles injury, it's different than, say, you know, somebody has an issue going on in their knee and it's not this really large tendon in the back, but you can do a little bit less with the prehab, but you can still get the ball rolling there. And, you know, kind of the key is getting the physical therapy going usually the next day. I know even I'm a pretty cutting edge technique surgeon where I'm pushing the envelope. I'm trying to push the rehab timeline, but over the last year and a half or so, I've shifted that Achilles rehab to, we didn't start it until 1 week, but now recently we started it the first day after surgery.
Wow. Well, hey, Mark, I had made the comment too, you know, Aaron Rodgers being a superstar, his access to resources and to care and to nutrition and to specialists, his access could be far better than what the average patient or average athlete may have exposure to. Do you find that being true?
Yeah, the access. So it's, the way to think about it is, when somebody that's not a high-end athlete gets these types of injuries, they still have access to, you know, you have access to the surgeons, you have access to the physical therapist. But where the nuances come into play for really, you know, let's take it to the next level and let's really speed things up. Like Aaron Rodgers, he has access to some of the best athletic trainers in the world. He has access to nutrition specialists. So that's something that's actually ongoing throughout his entire life, especially with his career. And that's going to set the foundation. That's going to set the foundation there too. Something that popped into my mind when you were talking about the nutrition, just to put it in perspective for the listeners, is that even when I'm doing a total joint replacement, I'm checking certain labs that tell me how good in a patient's nutrition status is, because that tells me how they're going to heal. So that's kind of a, you know, a baseline access. Not every surgeon does that, but we're looking at vitamin D levels, something called an albumin level, which tells us how well, yeah, exactly, the protein level in the body, in the serum. And that's going to be a marker of how somebody's going to heal. But then you take it to the next level. You know, Aaron Rodgers, for example, he's going to have access to these world-class athletic trainers. They're working on him every single day for several hours. And I have a lot of my athletes that get back very quickly, especially with my ACL treatment. You know, they, I just had this kid come in from, you know, 3 or 4 hours away, and he, you know, I'm looking at him rehabbing, and he's pretty early on in his recovery process.
How old is
the
kid?
He's a 14.
Okay. Still growing, has growth plates and things like that.
So that, and that's a whole other discussion, but yeah, that is a situation where you do treat them differently depending on how much growth plate activity they have. And it's not going to be the same age for every single person, because it's going to depend on how the body's developing. When do the arm, does the, we call it axillary hair growth, or the armpit hair comes in, or, you know, when girls start maturing too, then we'll see the skeletal, the bones start to mature quicker. So if there's growth plate activity, you do kind of change that technique. But just to get back to that, he's doing, this patient's doing extremely well. And, you know, the one thing that I always ask is, I say, you know, how many days a week are you doing stuff? And this individual's like, oh, seven days a week. And I see a big difference, even from, from the people that are doing the exercises twice a week, that they go to physical therapy and they're doing an hour at physical therapy 2 days a week. If you compare that individual to somebody that's doing something 5, 6, 7 days a week, there's a night and day difference, especially in that first few months after surgery.
Wonderful. Hey, Mark, you know, just for our listeners, you know, with regard to Aaron Rodgers and nutrition, just interestingly, if I can bring this up for the listeners, the things that are a little bit, you know, no-no that can lead to poor healing, can lead to arthritis. Now, Mark, I know you know them. You know, it's the red meat, the high-fat dairy, salt, sugary foods and drinks, fried foods, canned foods, alcohol, you know, candy, processed foods, gluten-containing foods. These are the things that Aaron Rodgers avoids as per his blog. But, you know, indeed, I think you would do the same thing for your athletes, saying, hey, I don't want you drinking. No beer, right?
Yeah.
Right. I want you to stay away from that sugary candy and the desserts and the strawberry shortcake. And
absolutely.
They listen to you?
Yeah.
Well, can I jump in on that one?
Let me
jump in on that one, because I think some of these clubs, I think the common sense thing would be the alcohol and stuff like that. It's the extracurricular activities. We saw years ago, and I'm sure you guys remember, when Ron Gant was on a dirt bike or something and broke his leg when he was with the Atlanta Braves. And I think what's happening now is more and more of these clubs have put restrictions on their investments, and rightfully so. If they're, you know, they're giving somebody like Shohei Ohtani $700 million on a 10-year contract, or they're giving a pitcher, they're going to monitor the situation where they're going to take some of his livelihoods away, just, you know, for the simple fact they got to protect that investment. So is it more of the extracurricular activities, more so than the harm in their body, or, you know, ruining their liver and stuff like that, whether it's drugs or alcohol? you see more of the extracurricular activities being harnessed.
Yeah. If, Mark, can I jump in on that, Matt, for a minute?
Yeah.
Go ahead. As far as, just a point extracurricular-wise. And, you know, these guys have fantastic attorneys negotiating contracts. However, in one of the contracts that I was able to view for an athlete, and I, of course, can't mention the name, that they prohibit him from becoming a pilot, a skydiver, doing scuba diving, any type of racing vehicles of any type. They prohibit him from doing that. Just interestingly, you know, as far as changing and protecting that athlete from the environment, as you've been mentioning, Mark. Have you seen that, Matt?
Oh, absolutely. This is a great topic. I think we could have a whole show on just
that.
You know, it's, I think of some of my surgical colleagues even. So if you think of, you know, professional athletes is one thing, but then think about a hospital with an investment in a surgeon. And, in some situations that makes its way into the contract. But you think about, you know, I know some people who've been injured and then all of a sudden, you know, they can't work. That's a huge blow to that investment. And, you know, it always comes back to what's your return on that investment and if that individual gets injured. But then you start to think about, and this has come up in some of my, you know, discussions with other surgical colleagues, is that, you know, you're not going to live your life in a bubble. And it's one thing to have a healthy nutrition status, but, you know, to my knowledge, I don't think the contracts are saying, like, well, in certain industries probably, that you have to maintain a certain weight and a certain, you know, range for your health and diet. But when it comes down to these extracurricular activities, I even think about it whenever I'm doing just like home improvement stuff around my house. I'm like, well, what if I, you know, fall here, like fracture my wrist, then I can't operate. And so
what if you fall off the ladder?
It's interesting. Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Well, very
you fall
good.
Off the ladder and then next thing you know, you're not operating anymore. So it's definitely an interesting topic.
Yeah. Mark, have you seen that also with the athletes that you've dealt with?
Yeah, I've definitely seen that. Yeah, I've seen
so,
that. He brings up interesting points, Matt does.
Yeah, he
does.
Well,
I was going to say we should talk about, did we ever discuss the load management on here? Because that's an interesting concept.
That's another good one. Greg Popovich did that. Yeah.
With Kawhi Leonard. And so that is big time, especially in the NBA, where you have, you know, the superstar athletes that are sitting out a third of the season for their load management. And then it comes back to, I always listen to the ESPN talk shows of NBA radio, and it's a lot of the old school players that are on there, and they say, well, I played, you know, all 82 games and everything. But the athletes are different now. You know, they're bigger, faster, stronger. It's more torque on the body. It's more potential for injury. And so you think about that. Look at some of the superstar athletes that can't play more than 20, 30 games in a season because they're constantly injured.
Sure.
They pull their hamstring, and then they're out for the longest time. So the interesting thing about that the load management got so the pendulum swung to the extreme there. But I don't know if you noticed, Mark, what the NBA did this year is they had a lot of different rules that were put in place that certain superstars could not sit out the same games. And then there's rules on how many games you can sit out. So they definitely kind of got their hands around that a little bit. But, you know, like everything, the truth is in the middle somewhere there.
Sure.
Right.
Can I jump in for a quick – go ahead.
Oh. I was going to jump in for
one more thing.
I know we're at the five-minute range. And, boy, we could talk for hours on this.
We could talk more about that. The other thing along with that, though, is the equipment. You know, equipment's getting better for these faster, stronger athletes as well. And that's something else we need to look at, the quality of the equipment that they're able to use and how that maintains their longevity. But go ahead, Mark.
Well, here's
the thing.
Do you
have any more callers?
You know, Matt, you brought up Kawhi Leonard and the load management Greg Popovich did. And I remember when that started. It started with the Spurs went through Miami. I was totally against that because I figured the fans in Miami only get to see the Spurs once a year, the East travel and West, vice versa. But still, has the load management really actually worked? Because Kawhi Leonard still is injury prone to a certain extent. He still can't play a consistent amount of games. So, you know, we saw the athlete, a lot of people say the athlete from today is much better than the athlete of yesteryear, but I kind of disagree with that to a certain extent, because those guys would play 82 games, and yeah, they had the short shorts and all that, but still, they were in there. You know, I just think today, if you're an injury-prone guy, load management's not going to help you to sustain, you know, your injuries. Am I on to something on that?
Well, and that's obviously talked about a lot. There's the advocates versus the naysayers with that. And you could frame the optics to basically prove your point, whatever you want to make in your argument. Because the people that would say, the people that are for the load management would say, well, if you didn't have load management, he would miss even more games. That's what they say. But you're never going to know, because the situation is what it is, and you can only play Monday morning quarterback. But, like, look at Zion Williamson. Zion Williamson is a freak of an athlete in the way he's built with that explosion. But the problem is he can't ever stay healthy. So, you know, but they have the load management concepts on him, but it's hard to know, like, how he would be. But you really are onto something, and a lot of the NBA radio talk shows talk about this, or the hosts talk about this a lot too, especially, you know, the guys that played in the 80s, they say, well, what's the difference? They sat out 3-4 games in a row, they come back, and then they pull a hamstring. So, I mean, you know that they're staying fit and conditioned even though they're not playing, but that is the other important topic that you touched on that I love is that the NBA is a business, and all these other, you know, professional sports leagues are businesses as well too. But the fans that go to these games, they only see them once or twice a year.
Yeah.
And when the superstars are all sitting out, you know, that leads to a poorer product that's out there. So that's why some of those rules were put in place where multiple superstars can't sit out a certain number of games. And it's also, for those fans that go to watch, if one superstar is down and not playing that game, at least the other one might be playing. So that's kind of tried to mitigate that a little.
We're down
very
to 2 minutes.
Gentlemen.
Oh,
yes.
My God, what a show. And I can't wait to go part
show.
Two on Thursday. Matt, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you.
Yeah, so it's my office number is 814-375-6200. And I do virtual consultations, telemedicine visits. If you have an injury, any question, I can, you know, set up an appointment with you as well, too. My email is, I'll just give a different one here. It's matthew.varicello@gmail.com. And I'm on Instagram. I'm on social media, LinkedIn, Facebook. I think I'll post my contact on the website there, too. I also have a movie coming out here pretty soon. So.
Well,
good
we
work.
Appreciate you moving the over easy eggs and the bacon and toast for this 15 minutes, and we can't wait to get you back in here next week. Dr. Greg Roscoe, let everybody know how they can get a hold of you as we wrapped up this great thing. And, man, oh, man, we could talk for hours, like I said.
Good guess, good production. Hey, this is Dr. Roscoe. You can get a hold of me, GJRMD, 308@outlook.com. You know, our next show is going to be January the 18th, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think, Mark, we're changing the time slot again for a Thursday, 5:30 to 6:30. I would like to pick up the topic again, regenerative medicine. So, Mark, we'll keep you posted on that. Matt Barrichello, Doctor, thank you so very much. Great show today. And, Mark, thanks for getting up at 5 o'clock to help produce.
Oh, I'd do anything for you guys. Run through a wall. For Matt Barrichello, for Dr. Greg Roscoe, for all the great listeners that get up this morning, yours truly, Mark Mancini, saying catch the archive version, blogtalkradio.com/Mancini Sports. Have a great weekend, and don't be a weekend warrior.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, listeners.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.